Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm not very good at tennis.
It is kind of tough, but I took tennis lessons for quite a while growing up. I love tennis. But you're right. It's one of those games that if you hit the ball the wrong way or you miss the ball completely, you spend half the time chasing the ball around the court.
And so I don't try to play tennis. But still, if you can't play tennis, that can't stop you from being a spectator.
Yeah.
Somebody who enjoys watching the game, which a lot of people here in Taiwan do because, well, there are some homegrown people here who have shown their talents.
We're going to talk about the history of tennis, the origins of the sport first, and then we'll talk more about current day tennis and what we see out there. It's fun. I love tennis, and I like to watch it. It can be very exciting if the match is close.
In any case, let's get to it here. Let's read the entire content of our lesson for today, and then we'll come back to discuss it. Although it's now perceived as a sport for socialites, and its famous tournaments are considered highly prestigious, the game of tennis had humble beginnings. While some claim the game and the word tennis originated in the ancient Mediterranean area, there is little proof of that theory. Instead, it's likely the evolution of a 12th century French game known as Game of the Hand, a court game in which a small ball was hit by hand. Monks in France took to smacking a ball, which was a rolled-up sphere of hair, wool, and leather, either against a wall or over a rope in an open courtyard. The name tennis likely came from the French word tenez, roughly meaning take this, which players would shout before serving the ball. The game saw its next major transformation when courts moved indoors for many years. Using bare hands was painful for some players, so gloves and then paddles were introduced. Finally, players created a type of paddle with webbing, a precursor to the modern tennis racket. The game did not go unnoticed outside the walls of French monasteries, and soon nobles sought to try their hand at it. The game became ubiquitous, to the point that King Louis IV and the Pope tried to ban it, but failed. It soon jumped over the English Channel to Britain and became a hit with royalty, who pushed for numerous courts to be built. Whatever changes tennis endured didn't detract from its popularity, and the game never fell out of favor during its 800-year history.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. Day one of our unit on the game of tennis is really focused more on the history of the game. It was very interesting to me because I'd never heard where tennis came from.
You mean the word or the game?
The game. It's kind of fun. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's a very old game. It's got an 800-year history, we find out in this lesson. Now, when you say that something is perceived a certain way, it means that's how people think of it. That's their opinion, how they become aware of it. It's thought of as a sport for socialites. Socialites are people who are so wealthy, they don't need to work. So they spend their days kind of relaxing, playing these crazy games or shopping, things like that. That's socialites.
Yeah, and also the famous tournaments are considered highly prestigious. If you're talking about a tournament, that's when people get together to try to win a prize. And you have various tournaments going on all over the time. There was the major ones, of course, the Australian Open, the French Open, the U.S. Open, and Wimbledon.
There's a basketball tournament.
The NCAA every year.
Yeah, that's right. So these teams play each other, and one by one are eliminated, and the teams left at the final game of the tournament. One of them is crowned champion. And that's what we use for tennis, to talk about the contests they play with each other. They are tennis tournaments.
And those tournaments are highly prestigious, and something's prestigious when it makes people respect it and they admire it. It has high status. Lots of people look up to it. So if you can win the Australian Open, my goodness, you are really prestigious. You are a big star.
Well, even though nowadays we think of tennis as kind of a sport for people who have more free time and who have money, Actually, that's not how the game of tennis actually began. It comes from humble beginnings. Humble here means it wasn't really considered to be high in status. It wasn't a game that rich people played or royalty played. It came from people who didn't have much money at all, and it was just a way to amuse themselves or to entertain themselves.
Exactly. Humble, when we describe a person, means they kind of have a low opinion of themselves. They're modest. They don't say big things about themselves. They don't brag. But also, humble here just means it's kind of low social rank. It's just not very prestigious. And so that's kind of the opposite of prestigious. Humble.
Yeah, not fancy or expensive either. Maybe you can go have a meal. A humble meal would be something that doesn't cost a lot of money. It's made with cheap ingredients.
Like beef noodles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they aren't necessarily made with cheap ingredients. It depends on where you get them. But it could be a humble meal of rice and corn and stuff like that. But in any case here, the game of tennis had humble beginnings. It kind of started from the grassroots, as they say. Well, some people claim the game and the word tennis originated in the ancient Mediterranean area. However, there's little proof of that theory. So while some claim this, it has still not really been proven, or hasn't been proven. So we start this sentence with while. Although it's true that some people claim it kind of came from the Mediterranean Sea area, Italy, France, Spain, whatever, still there's really no proof that that's the case.
Proof is some sort of evidence that gives you some idea that something is true that makes it a fact, but they haven't found any proof, but that's what people were saying. Oh, we think it came from the Mediterranean area long, long ago. Instead, we have found out that it's likely the evolution of a 12th century French game that was known as Game of the Hand. That's what they called it. Evolution here is the noun form of the verb to evolve. If you evolve, you go through a slow process of change and development over time. So it's a game that changed quite a bit from what it started out as this game of the hand. Now, 12th century France would be in the 1100s. That was a long time ago.
At least 800 years ago, maybe more. And so it's the evolution of that, a slow change through time. That's what evolution is, the theory of evolution, for example. And so they think this game came from this game. It evolved from that. This game back then was called Game of the Hand. And what was Game of the Hand? Well, it was a court game in which a small ball was hit by hand. It sounds kind of like handball, actually.
Yeah.
But this is a court game. It's played on a court. A basketball is a court game. Tennis is a court game. Badminton is a court game.
That's all true. Well, who were the people playing this game? They were called monks. There are still monks today. In fact, I see a lot of Buddhist monks in Taiwan still. They're the ones who wear kind of the yellow mustard-colored clothing, these long robes.
It depends on where they're from, I think.
They shave their heads.
Yeah, the Thailand monks wear kind of orange, and the Tibetan ones kind of wear a claret or claret color.
Is that a red color?
Kind of a red color, yeah. And the ones here in the Taiwan, I guess, wear kind of a, I don't know, I can't describe that color, but in any case, those are monks. Of course, monks are the males, and nuns are the females.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, these monks in the monasteries, well, they'd read the Bible and pray and chant and stuff like that. And that would get boring after a while, so they decided to have some fun. So they thought, hey, let's take a ball here and just smack it back and forth. They took to smacking a ball, and that ball was a rolled-up sphere of hair, wool, and leather. If you take to something, that means you kind of start the habit. You start doing this thing, you start enjoying this. So I could say that, hey, I've noticed every day you come into the office with a book, Stephanie. It seems that you've taken to reading. You've started to read a lot.
Or, you know, I tried cooking a couple of years ago and took to it immediately. I really started to like it. Well, they started smacking a ball around. To smack is a verb that means you hit or slap something with some force. So you slap it kind of hard. We sometimes will use it to talk about slapping someone's face. You could say I smacked him across the face.
Ooh.
Which just means you hit them with your hand. An open hand, not a fist. That's a punch.
That would hurt.
Guys, punching is different. Smack is just to slap or hit something hard. So they took to hitting or smacking this ball, and as Tom said, it was rolled up and into a ball shape, which is what a sphere is. A sphere is a round object. It's usually three-dimensional, so it looks like a ball. So you could say it was a rolled-up ball of hair, wool, and leather all together. And they would hit this ball against a wall or over a rope in an open courtyard for fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So the monks would cut off their hair. They would take the wool off the goats and the sheep and put them inside this leather ball. And voila! They had a ball that they would hit back and forth in a court there. Well, the name tennis, you might be wondering, likely came from the French word tenez. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
T-E-N-E-Z, I guess the Z or the Z, is silent here. And tenez there roughly means take this, which players would shout before serving the ball. To serve, you do that in tennis. You serve the ball. You do that in badminton. And what other sports do you serve?
Volleyball.
Volleyball. That's the only three I can think of.
Table tennis. So table tennis, ping pong, badminton, volleyball, and tennis. You all serve the ball.
And we'll continue our lesson in just a second, but right now we're going to take a time out and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好 I'm Tim.今天要跟大家讨论的课程是 sports 运动，我们要跟大家谈谈网球的历史，并带大家了解有名的四大满贯赛事。现在就让我们一起来看看课程内容吧。首先，我们看到第一段的第一句 ，Although it's now perceived as a sport for socialites, and its famous tournaments are considered highly prestigious, the game of tennis had humble beginnings.虽然网球在今日被视为上流社会的运动，有名的网球锦标赛地位也很崇高，但网球这个运动的由来却是相当的平凡。我们看到句中的生字 humble 就表示平凡的、简单的意思。例如 ，Jack came from a humble family 就表示杰克的出身平凡。而 humble 还有另外的意思，表示谦虚的。例如 ，To my surprise。Many famous people are very humble. 让我感到惊讶的是，很多的名人都相当的谦虚。而 humble 也有简陋的意思。例如 ，The boy lives in a humble house. 这个男孩住在一个简陋的房子里。接着我们看到第一段的第二句 ，While some claim the game and the word tennis originated in the ancient Mediterranean area, there is little proof of that theory.虽然有些人声称网球这个名字源自古老的地中海地区，却很少有证据能够支持这个论点。句中的 while 就表示虽然的意思，等于 although。我们通常会表示 while 什么什么加上主要子句。例如 ，While I like the color of the shirt, I don't like its design。虽然我喜欢这件衬衫的颜色，但我不喜欢它的设计。While the first two services are free, the third costs $100 NT. 虽然前两项的服务免费，但是第三项的服务却要花100元的台币。句中还有一个生字 originate， 表示发源于、起源于什么什么的意思。通常我们在后面加上介系词 from， 例如 Chinese culture originated from the Yellow River Basin， 中国文化发源于黄河的流域。同样的意思我们还可以用 stem from STEM 同样有起源于发源于的意思例如 Her fear of water stemmed from a boating accident that occurred when she was a child 她之所以怕水是源自于小时候帆船的缘故
We're going to take a short break Stay tuned, we'll be right back
Okay, let's continue to talk about tennis. I know that tennis is not your favorite sport, Stephanie, but it's probably one of your favorite sports.
I like it a lot. Right. I do. Uh-huh.
I have begun to appreciate it a little bit more. I've been watching it in recent years.
Uh-huh.
I like the Raging Bull from Spain. He's kind of my favorite there. Rafael Nadal. But he hasn't been doing so well. He seems to always be getting injured these days.
Yeah, his body lets him down. He does get injured frequently.
Yeah, well, let's move on now. We just got done talking about serving and where the name of tennis came from, probably from the French language. Well, then the game saw its next major transformation when courts moved indoors for many years. The transformation, of course, is a big change. So, of course, at first it was played by the monks in monasteries in France. They just hit this leather ball back and forth. Then this game was moved indoors. That was a transformation, a big change.
Yeah, it really was. Transformation means a complete change, a very major change. It's not just a little change or a modification. If you modify something, you change it a little bit. When you transform something, it changes completely. This is the noun form of the verb to transform. If you want to transform your appearance, you might turn your hair to a different color. You dye it red or green. Maybe start wearing different clothes.
Yeah.
Really change what you look like so people can't recognize you. Well, this game really changed a lot when courts moved indoors for many years. They weren't playing outside. They were playing inside. That's what indoors means.
Exactly. And also, remember, they were using bare hands to hit those balls, and that was painful for some players. So as a result of that, gloves and then paddles were introduced. You could hit the ball with gloves, which were made of leather or something like that. And then we had paddles. We use paddles when we play ping pong or table tennis, although I understand that the word paddle is only used in the U.S. If you're in England, they're going to call those things bats. Okay, or rackets. I guess it depends on where you are. But in tennis, they were rackets, and they were made out of some kind of material. Later on, a type of paddle was made with webbing, which is like those little strings that go back and forth. And this one with webbing, this paddle with webbing, was a precursor to the modern tennis racket.
Yeah, if you play baseball, guys, and you have a baseball glove or a baseball mitt, that webbing is the part of the glove between the thumb and the fingers. Now, we don't use paddle anymore to talk about tennis rackets, but we use it when we're talking about table tennis or, as we like to call it, ping pong. That's a paddle. It's much smaller, and it's kind of in a round shape, and you just hold that short little handle in your hand. But that was the precursor to the modern tennis racket. A precursor is a noun. It just means something that comes before something else. It's the earlier version, you could say. So instead of using two words, earlier version, you can just shorten your English and use precursor instead, and that means the same thing.
Yeah, like the harpsichord was the precursor to the piano, right? Is that, is that right?
Yeah.
I think I got my music history straight there. But in any case, yes, this paddle with webbing was kind of an early version, a precursor to the modern tennis racket, which we all know and love. And we're calling those things rackets, R-A-C-Q-U-E-T, which I think is also a French word. But
Racky.
But we don't say it that way. We say racket in English.
We do.
And the game did not go unnoticed outside the walls of French monasteries. In other words, not only did the monks play this game, but other people did as well. They saw this game. They thought, hey, we want to play that too. Why should those monks have all the fun? Remember, a place where monks hang out is called a monastery. You have monasteries in Europe there. I think some monasteries actually make beer or wine and things like that.
Yeah.
Here in Taiwan, of course, we've got Buddhist monasteries like Chengtian, Chanshi, and Tucheng. That's a monastery where monks live. And soon nobles thought to try their hand at it.
I wanted to mention for you athletes out there, a paddle is used with table tennis, like I mentioned before. But you can use the word racket to talk about that piece of equipment that you use, not only in tennis, but badminton is a racket, and squash. That also uses a racket. We don't use paddle for those games. Well, they did notice what was going on at these monasteries. A monastery, like Tom says, is a place where monks live and work together, or as he said, hang out. But they actually live there. Well, pretty soon it got some nobles excited. They wanted to try their hand at it. A noble is a person who has a high social ranking. He was brought, or he was born into wealth. His parents had money. They had land. So They wanted to try it. They thought, hey, this looks fun. If you try your hand at something, just means you try it. And you see if you like it.
Try your hand at something, right. I'd like to try my hand at skateboarding, for example. Looks like a lot of fun. Although, it might be kind of dangerous. I might break my neck or something.
If you fell, it would hurt. You're so tall.
I'd probably break my elbows or something like that. And surgery on your elbow can be very expensive. But in any case, let's get back to tennis here. So the monks were playing it. Nobles started to play it. Rich people. And the game became ubiquitous to the point that King Louis IV and the Pope tried to ban it. They didn't want all these people having so much fun. The king said, no, life is serious. You're not supposed to have fun like that. The Pope, of course, agreed with that. If something is ubiquitous, that means you basically see it everywhere. Yellow taxis in Taipei are ubiquitous. You can't go 10 feet without seeing one.
Or convenience stores in Taiwan.
7-Elevens. Yeah. They're everywhere. They're ubiquitous.
They're everywhere. So if you use that word, you'll sound very smart, but it just means everywhere. You see something everywhere. Well, if you try to ban something, you say it's against the law, so people can't do it. They tried to ban it, but failed. So I guess too many people were already in love with this new game, so they weren't able to ban it.
Exactly. And soon, the game jumped over the English Channel, that's figuratively speaking, of course. The English over there in Britain heard about this game. They started doing it themselves, and it also became a hit with royalty. A hit here just means something that's very popular. A hit song, for example, is something that's popular on the radio or on the internet nowadays. And yeah, the king and the queen and the prince and the princess thought, hey, tennis is cool. We want to play, and we want to watch people playing it, too.
Yeah. Now, if the royalty like it and normal people like it, even the monks like it, it's going to have a lot of fans building up pretty fast. These people who really enjoyed it, who thought it was a hit, who made it become a hit, they wanted more tennis courts. They pushed for numerous courts to be built. If you push for something, you really let people know that this is what you want. You put pressure on them to do it. Numerous simply means existing in large numbers. Some people have numerous friends. I have numerous plants in my apartment. So they wanted more courts so that they wouldn't have to wait so long to take turns. I think most people who like tennis always find that there aren't enough courts for them.
That's true. I did try to play tennis here in Taipei, and my goodness, you've got to get up so early to get a court. There are people on those courts at 5 in the morning, so you might be best to join a tennis club or something like that and to reserve the hours. But in any case, here in England, they were pushing for numerous courts to be built so lots of other people could be playing as well. Well, whatever changes tennis endured didn't detract from its popularity, and the game never fell out of favor during its 800-year history. So this sentence basically means that even though there were a lot of changes to tennis over the years, it still remained popular for centuries, for a very long time. To endure just means to last a very long time. In other words, you can undergo something like pain. You can endure pain, for example, if you're waiting for surgery or something like that. But here, it just lasted, was able to exist for a long time.
If you detract from something, you make something less valuable or important, or maybe reduce the effect of something. For example, you might prepare a lovely dinner for friends, but you burn one of the dishes. Well, that burned dish can detract from the rest of the evening.
It
kind of makes the success of the evening less fun if something goes wrong. So the changes that tennis had to go through didn't hurt its popularity is another way to say the sentence. If you're popular, a lot of people like you, but nothing seemed to faze the people or affect their feeling for tennis. They loved it.
Right. Popularity is the degree to which something is popular, and the game never fell out of favor during its 800-year history. It's been popular ever since its beginning. To fall out of favor means something gradually becomes less and less popular, and later on, no one has heard of it anymore.
Okay, everybody. Someone you have heard of is your Chinese teacher. Let's listen now.
接下来我们看到第二段的第一句. The game saw its next major transformation when courts moved indoors for many years. 网球的场地后来有许多年的时间移到了室内，面临了重大的改变。 Transformation 这个字名词就表示转变、转型的意思。例如 ，Tom made plans for transformation of his home library into a gym. 汤姆计划要把书房变成一间健身房。而这个字的动词就是 transform， T-R-A-N-S-F-O-R-M， 表示转型、转变的意思。例如 ，The mayor decided to transform the parking lot into a beautiful park. 市长承诺要把停车场转型为一座美丽的公园。接着我们看到第二段的最后一句 ，Whatever changes tennis endured didn't detract from its popularity.The game never fell out of favor during its 800-year history. 无论网球经历过多少种改变，魅力丝毫不减，而800年来从未没落。句子中的 whatever 是做形容词用，用来修饰子句中的名词，也就是 changes， 表示无论什么样的改变。例如 ，Eat whatever dish you like。句中的 whatever 就是用来修饰 dish， 表示。你可以吃任何一道你想吃的菜，而我们也可以用 whichever 加上名词，例如 read whichever novel you find exciting。这边的 whichever 就是用来修饰 novel， 表示你可以读任何一本令你感到兴奋的小说。而后方的生字 popularity 就表示人气、受欢迎的程度。我们常常会用一个片语 gain in popularity。G-A-I-N 或者也可以直接讲 gain popularity 表示受欢迎的意思。例如 The smartphone app Line starts to gain popularity 表示智慧型手机程式 Line 开始受到欢迎。而这个字还有另外一个名词 Population P-O-P-U-L-A-T-I-O-N 就表示人口的意思。例如 In the U.S. Asians are still a minorityMaking up only about 5% of the population. 在美国，亚洲人仍算少数，只有占总人口的 5% 而已。而这个字的动词 populate, P-O-P-U-L-A-T-E, 就表示居住于什么地方的意思。例如 ,This place is a densely populated area. 这个地区住了非常多人。而它的形容词就是 populous, P-O-P-U-L-O-U-S, 表示人口稠密的意思。例如 Taipei is the most populous city in Taiwan. 台北是台湾人口最稠密的都市。
That's all the time we have for today, everybody. But if you're still interested in learning about tennis, tune in to our program next time. We'll be happy to continue talking about it then. Please join us then for English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye. Bye.